Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I'm your host, Morey Isha Yisrael, the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring you nothing but the truth. Praise the mighty Yah. And shalom to all our listeners in an internet audience. We know that the only reason that you are tuned in to us is because of your great love and fear towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Yahweh is the only king, the only judge, and the only lawgiver, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of Elohim, and there is none else beside him. And Yahweh has made it so that we are here to deliver the word of the Most High. Again, I am Isha Yisrael, one of the servants of the mighty Yah. And this evening, we're going to bring you Yah's word, nothing but the truth. And we're going to speak about the time of Jacob's trouble. Last week, the House of Israel, Cincinnati, the restoration of the sacred laws of the Most High Conference, partook in our 25th annual summer conference in Falls Creek Falls, Tennessee, where we came together, gathered ourselves together, as ordered, commanded, directed by the mighty Yah, by one of his prophets, to gather ourselves together. And this is what we did. And there we discussed, one of the things we discussed was how to be hid in the time of Jacob's trouble. And we're going to discuss the time of Jacob's trouble this evening. We're going to magnify the word of Yah according to this topic. And no, Yahweh's word is the truth. And so that's what we're going to discuss tonight. It's been taught and it's been heard throughout this country, throughout this land, that Yahweh, he's not righteous. He doesn't fulfill his word that we, the children of Israel, are hopeless and our hope is lost, and that there is no way we can know how long we're to be in this captivity. Some people might believe and do believe that Yahweh has given us a sentence without end, and the only way we are to return to our holy land is if we humble ourselves and apologize and cry out to the mighty Yah. And whenever he feels that we've done that enough, then we'll return. And the problem with that is it doesn't have a determination. And the determination is a judgment. And this is what Yahweh spoke in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it reads, verse 1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. An Elohim of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." Hallelujah. What is this letting us know? All Yah's ways are judgment. Which means Yahweh would not give us a determination without end. Because then it wouldn't be a determination. Then it wouldn't be measured. Then it wouldn't be judgment. And all of Yah's ways are judgment. So you can believe that there's no hope and that you don't know when Yahweh is coming to get us and when Yahweh is going to end this captivity, but you were believing, you would be believing in error. Let me show you the book of Psalms, the 91st chapter. In Psalms chapter 91, oh, I'm sorry, Psalms 90. We'll start reading in verse 9, where it says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their labor, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear is death." So Moses is letting us know, who knows Yah's anger? Who knows how powerful it is? He's letting us know our days are shortened. And since we don't know, we need to ask Yahweh this question in verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Yes, we got to number our days, learn how Yahweh wants us to order our days, so we must have wisdom. "Return, O Yah, and how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants." How long? If we know what Yahweh has shown us, which is to number our days, then we can find out how long. We can understand how long will Yahweh be angry with us? How long will it be until Yahweh comes to deliver us? Go to the book of Hosea. The 6th chapter. How long Hosea 6, verse 1, where it says, "Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. In the 3rd day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." How long? 2 days been passed. What kind of days is he speaking of? Well, the scripture states, as I was reading in Psalms 90, if you go back there, Psalms 90, start reading verse 3, where it states, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but as yesterday, when it is past, and a watch in the night." So 1,000 years is a day, according to the word of the Most High. It ain't nothing but a day. And Yah said 2 days, he will revive us. And just look at that again, so we're specific. Many need to understand that every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. "Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Listen to what Yahweh has spoken in Hosea, the 6th chapter, the 2nd verse. It says, "After 2 days," which means not in the 2nd day, not in the beginning of the 2nd day, not in the middle of the 2nd day, but after 2 days, which means 2 days got to pass. If I told you to meet me after 2 days from today, you would have to wait for Yom Kamishi, which is tomorrow, to pass, Thursday, and Yom Shishi, which is the next day to pass, which is Friday. After 2 days, after those 2 days, he will revive us in the third day. Listen, specific, every word of Elohim is pure. In the third day, not in the beginning of the third day, not after the third day, but in. And when you look up that word, it means midst. So in the third day, he will raise us up. He's going to revive us and raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, if a day is 1,000 years to the mighty Yah, you can do the math. But does that give us what we're looking for right now? You have to know the time. You have to know how Yahweh deals with time and how Yahweh deals with judgment. Go to the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter. Yahweh is very specific. He's very direct because Yahweh is an Elohim of truth. Yahweh is an Elohim of knowledge, and you cannot be an Elohim of knowledge and of judgment and of truth if you're indirect. And in Numbers, the 14th chapter, if you start reading in verse 20, and Yahweh said, I have pardoned according to thy word, because the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, and they came back with a bad report. All the men that went in came back with a bad report except Joshua and Caleb. And Yahweh was like, I'm about to destroy these brothers. And Moses pleaded for them and asked them to pardon. And Yahweh said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yah. Because all those men which have seen my glory, my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whithertoo he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And Yah spoke unto Moshe and unto Aharon, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, surely as I live, saith Yah, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Yahoshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said shall be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my name, my breach of promise. So you see, Yahweh sentenced us, the children of Israel, to 40 years in the wilderness. It didn't have to be that way, but our people doubted the Most High and murmured against him and distrusted him and spread discord, and this was a grave sin. And Yah said, you can't enjoy the blessing I have since you have cursed it. Therefore, 40 years. Which is a representation of Yah's judgment. And did we stay in the wilderness 40 years? We sure did. How do we know this? If you go to the book of Joshua, the fifth chapter. Joshua, the fifth chapter. Verse 5, it states, now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. So all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of Yah, unto whom Yah sware, and would not show the land, which Yah sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. You see, 40 years. Again, let me show you something else. In the book of Exodus, the seventh chapter. In Exodus, the seventh chapter, in verse 1, it says, or I'll start in verse 7. It says, and Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh, which 80 is 80. A score is 20. So 80 is 80. Moses was 80 years old when he spoke to Pharaoh, which lets you know he came out, and we came out of Egypt the same year as Moses being 80. Now go to the book of Deuteronomy. And start reading in verse 5. It says, so Moses died, the servant of Yahweh died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of Yah, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth his sepulture unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his fate natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moshe were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid upon his hands the children of Israel, hearkened unto him, and he did as Yahweh commanded. So what are you seeing? That Moses died at 120. And Moses wasn't in the land. They went in right after that. So how long was that? 80 to 120 is 40 years. The children of Israel dwelt in the wilderness 40 years as Yahweh spoke. Not a day longer. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. And if you want to know how long we're supposed to be in this captivity, because it's going to conclude with Jacob's trouble, and you want to know how long is this horror going to happen. And I'm showing you Yah's consistency. Yahweh gives a sentence and he executes it, because Yahweh, all his ways are judgment. He's not going to give you a sentence and make you wait longer or take you out earlier. Yahweh is going to allow his word to be fulfilled. So in the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, is in the first verse. Hold on a second. thought it was in this chapter, but I might be wrong. Nope, I'm right. Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. We'll start reading in the 8th verse. It says, "Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Yah, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all the nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith Yah, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations." Yahweh gave a decree. Yahweh gave a judgment. Yahweh gave a number, and it was 70 years. Now, how do we know that this 70 years were fulfilled? If you go to the book of Ezra, Ezra started the first chapter. And in Ezra, the first chapter, the first verse, it plainly reads, "Now these are the children," I'm sorry, that was in the second chapter. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Yahweh, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh Elohim of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Yehuda. Who is there among you of all his people? His Elohim be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Yehuda, and build the house of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He is the Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. What are you seeing? You're seeing a historical document. Not only is it recorded in the book of Ezra, it's also recorded in the book of Chronicles, the second book of Chronicles, the 36th chapter, the 22nd verse, where it says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yah spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Yahweh Elohim of heaven given me, and hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Yehuda. Who is there among you of all his people? Yahweh, his Elohim, be with him, and let him go up after 70 years." Not only is this written in the book of Ezra, in the book of 2 Chronicles, which are historical documents, our enemies have manipulated our minds to have us believe the Old Testament, as it is called, which we know are the Holy Scriptures, have manipulated our minds into believing that the Holy Scriptures is some kind of theorized mythological book that holds no historical foundation. Well, if that were true, the United Nations wouldn't decree the Holy Scriptures as a valid historical document, one that is valid to use for historical invalidation of nationhood. Look it up. If that was true, then why is it that this decree by Cyrus is written in the historical documents of the ancient Persians, which you know today as Iran, in their historical documents? This doctrine written by Cyrus is in their historical records. And Yahweh said, by two witnesses or three shall every matter be established. And it's established wholly in Yah's book without even looking in the other nations' historical records. Nevertheless, it is there. Nevertheless, they decreed it. Confirm the word of Yahweh. So, how are we to understand our time? Yah's people are in a crisis today. If you go to the book of Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, today Yah's people, the children of the Most High, the sons and the daughters of the Holy One of Israel, are in a crisis, one in which we have forgotten our Elohim, forgotten our power, forgotten our beauty, forgotten our strength, forgotten our city, forgotten our land, because of oppression, because of hard rulership. Look what it says in the book of Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust and arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Speaking to us. For thus saith Yah, you have sold yourselves to nothing, or you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. Praise Yah. This is a confirmation of what Yah said in Deuteronomy 28, verse 28, where he said that no man will redeem us, because man must use money, must use commerce, must use trade to redeem captives. But no man is going to redeem us. Yahweh is going to redeem us, and he's not going to have to spend a dime to do it, because Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Yahweh is the Elohim of heaven and earth, and there is none else beside him, and no nation can stand before the Most High. So when he redeems us, it will be without money. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, my people went down aforetime into Egypt. And just ask yourself, when Yahweh redeemed us from Egypt, did we have to spend money? Did we have to get commerce? Did somebody have to trade? No. Yahweh, in his outstretched arm, brought down the Egyptians, and they urged us out. As a matter of fact, they gave us jewels, raiment, what you would call today reparations, to sojourn there. And the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, and ask yourself, what we just read about Babylon in 70 years and when Cyrus let us go, did anybody have to trade and with commerce or anything of the sort? No. Yahweh moved Cyrus to release the children of Israel, because Yah ruleth kingdom of men. Now, verse 5 of Isaiah 52 says, now therefore, what have I here, saith Yah, that my people is taken away for naught? And when they came and got us, what did they get? What did they have to lose? Do you understand the transatlantic slave trade? Our enemies traveled from their land to the land of the Americas, or they received goods from the land of the Americas, like sugar and rum and different commodities. And ask yourself, did they work for that? No, they stole it. They stole it from the Native Americans that were here already. And they took those goods like wine and rum, and sugar and things in that manner, and they traded it for Hebrew slaves. What did they lose? Nothing. It was like free. And they didn't always do that. Sometimes they just came and took us, just kidnapped us, just stole us away from our dwelling place. And Yahweh said, now therefore, what have I here, saith Yah? My people is taken away for naught. They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yah. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. You see? Now, when is this going to end? What is this referring to today? Go to the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 15th chapter. Start reading at the 13th verse. And it states, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. Stop. The land of America, north and south, and the islands surrounding it, was this land ours? Some people might teach that we were here already. Just because your skin is bronze or brazen does not mean you are Hebrew. The majority of the world are dark-skinned people. That doesn't mean the majority of the world are Hebrews. People that were here first, the original people of this land, they were black people. That doesn't make them Hebrew. But Yahweh said, you'll be a stranger in the land that is not yours. And they shall afflict them 400 years. Yahweh did not tell you when the 400 years will start. He just let us know that Abram's seed will be a stranger and will be afflicted in a land that is not theirs for 400 years. And also the nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Now, what is this speaking of, brothers and sisters? Some will teach that this 400 years already happened. I remember in 2007, when the United States and Great Britain were celebrating 400 years of the first settlement of the colonies on the American continent, many Hebrew scholars were going around the country trying to make a case and say that the 400 years is concluded. And the only reason we are still here is because certain Israelites are teaching division and are not trying to serve Yah the way that these certain teachers believed. They said the 400 years is up and we're only here because Yahweh is still upset with Israel. What they essentially were saying was Yahweh is a liar. Because Yahweh said that they shall serve them and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. So Yahweh is telling you what he's going to do. Israel is going to serve and be afflicted for 400 years. And once that has concluded, Yah will judge that nation. And Israel will come out with great substance. Now in 2007, did Yahweh judge this nation? No. So that couldn't have been what Yahweh was talking about. Then some teachers, and I'll tell you where this teaching comes from. You have a teaching that says that the 400 years was in Egypt. That teaching comes from our cousin or brother Esau. It comes from the enemy of Yahweh, Esau, the Edomites, or what you know as the so-called Jewish man. Yahweh declared Esau as his enemy. And his enemy states in their teachings that the 400 years happened in Egypt. Why is that a problem? That's a problem because of what we'll read in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. I'll first go to Exodus, the second chapter, so you can see something. Give you a little history. Joseph, the patriarch, the chief father of the tribe of Joseph, the chief father of the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, Joseph went down into Egypt when he was 17 years old. Became viceroy, prime minister, or the head of the country, the nation, the empire of Egypt, when he was 30 years old. Which means he was there already for 13 years. Then, when he was 39 years old, his father and all his household came down into Egypt. And Joseph was chief in Egypt, only below Pharaoh. And when his family came into Egypt, the Pharaoh allowed them to have the best of the land and dwelt there as free people, not bondmen and bondwomen, not servants, not manservants and maidservants, not chattel, and not slaves, and not abject members of society, but free men dwelt in their own land that they were given, called the land of Goshen, to roam freely and do as they please by decree of the Pharaoh. But in Exodus, the second chapter, it says, or I should say in Exodus, the first chapter, in the 8th verse, or the 6th verse, it says, and Joseph died, and he died at 110, which lets you know Joseph was in Egypt 83 years. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, when have you heard about that here in America? You can't read in the Chronicles of American History where it will say, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. You'll read where Israel multiplied and the enemies of Israel manipulated the people to kill their own children through abortion, kill their own people through crack cocaine, black-on-black crime. Every time we produce children, we lose children. But Yahweh is so merciful that we pop out children like ain't no tomorrow. Yet you don't see positive history about Israel in America like you see here. But now in verse 8, now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the children, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Come and let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us and so get them up out of the land. So then they became servants. But before that, they were not for at least 83 years. At least 83 years before that. But it happened after all the generation of Joseph and his brethren died. And you want me to show you who the oldest of the Israelite men, sons of Jacob, of the 12 fathers were? Yeah, I'll show you. It's in the book of Exodus, the 7th chapter. No, I'm sorry, the 6th chapter. In Exodus, the 6th chapter, verse 16, it says, and these are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations. Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. In the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. So he lived longer than any one of his brethren. Joseph died at 110. Yet Levi died at 137. And Levi had to live in Egypt for at least, let's see. When they went down into Egypt, Joseph was 39. When Joseph died, he was 110, which lets you know that, you see, we have 10, 50, 60, 71 years from the time the 12 tribes and all their children and Jacob went into Egypt. 71 years was how long they was there while Joseph was alive. And Levi died at 137. So for at least 71 years, the children of Israel were no one's slave, were nobody's task servants, were nobody's handmaids for at least 71 years. And the land of Egypt was not a strange land to them. It was not a land that they didn't know. And they didn't sojourn, and they weren't strangers. They were sojourners. Yahweh never said you will sojourn in the land for 400 years. He said you will be strangers and you will be afflicted and you will serve. Go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. And I'm showing you how you can know how Yahweh has given a sentence and know that he doesn't lie. He said that we will be in the wilderness for 40 years, and it was so. He said we will be in Babylon for 70 years, and it was so. And he said of this captivity, we'll be here for 400 years. And I'm showing you now that this 400 years was not in Egypt. In Exodus 12, verse 41, it says, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of Egypt, Yahweh, went out from the land of Egypt. Yahweh did not make a mistake. He didn't stutter. He didn't fumble over his words. He didn't forget that he said 400 years. Yahweh let you know so you wouldn't be confused about his word that after 430 years, Israel came out of Egypt. Now, anyone that tells you that this 400 years was Egypt, all we have to do is ask, why does it say 430? And of course, the answers will be varied, but none of them, not one of them, will be founded in the word of Yah. Now, as I showed you earlier, Yah said that we'll be afflicted 400 years. Go to the book of Isaiah 48. Just showing you now Yah's word and how it is confirmed. In Isaiah 48, start reading 5. Yahweh says, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. And yes, he has declared from the beginning. Yahweh spoke to his prophet, Abraham, the first person you ever see mentioned as a prophet, Abraham. Yahweh spoke to him first in the beginning. Before it came to pass, I showed it to thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol had done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? Yahweh saying, man, are you going to see everything that I've done? Are you going to read the record of my glory? And are you not going to declare it? Are you going to try to speak contrary to the word of the Most High? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. What is Yahweh telling you? Yahweh's telling you, he hides his word and stores it with his servant. And he declares it through his servant. And you ain't never heard it before until his servant declared it. And even though he showed it and proved it, he knew Israel would try to lie. That's why he put it in this book. And Yah saying in verse 9, for my name's sake will I defer, for mine anger and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. That's where you're at today, brothers and sisters. This is the furnace of affliction. And did not Yah say, we will serve and be afflicted 400 years? He chose us in this furnace of affliction. As I read earlier in Isaiah 52, we have sold ourselves to naught, and those that rule over us, because we are servants and we have rulers, have caused us to howl because we're being afflicted. Go to Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, so we can know this affliction has a conclusion. This affliction has an end. This servitude has an expiration. But you got to hear the word of Yah. You got to know the word of Yah. You got to believe the word of Yah. And you have to believe his prophets. And that's all we've been reading this evening, the words of Yah through his prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Moses. These are Yah's prophets. And we have to believe them because Yahweh spoke through them. Jeremiah 30, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yah saying, thus speaketh Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Why? Because we need record. Israel, say, I don't believe you. Israel, say, show me that. Israel wants to see proof. So Yahweh knows his children. And he said, write all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. What other Elohim you know commanded his prophets, commanded his servants, commanded his priests, commanded his kings to write the words of Yah? No other Elohim. Who do you think taught the world how to write? The Hebrews. They try to ascribe the invention of handwriting to the Chinese, but the Chinese stole or learned it from the Hebrews. That's another lesson for another day, though. But just letting you know, Yahweh, he told his servants to write. Write it in a book. Verse 3, for lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Yehuda, saith Yah, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers. When? When is he going to do this? And they shall possess it. And these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. For thus saith Yah, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ye now, and see whether a man doth travel with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Yaakov's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. What else do you think the furnace of affliction is? Why is it the furnace of affliction? Because what is a furnace? A furnace is an oven. Fire burning in a enclosed compartment. This is something real hot. But instead of flames burning us, instead of flames humbling us, instead of flames torturing us, instead of flames depriving us, it's affliction. In this furnace, the heat's going to turn up. And that heat is called Jacob's trouble. And that's when you're going to hear us say, alas, verse 7, for that day is great, so that none is like it, even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more, what? Serve themselves of him. Not only, brothers and sisters, is this great time a time of servitude, it's a time of affliction. And this is what Yahweh has let us know about the 400 years. But they shall serve Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. This time of Jacob's trouble has to have an end. And the only time Yahweh spoke of such affliction and such servitude was when he told his friend Abraham that his seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them and afflict them 400 years. And let's see what Yahweh is going to do in verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Yaakov, saith Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee. Did not Yahweh say that he will deliver Israel? I will save thee, though I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Yaakov shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So you see, he will judge these nations, as he stated to his servant, to his friend, Abraham. Keep reading. For thus saith Yah, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause. Is these words not true? Who's pleading our cause today? You had a group of African-American Christian ministers go before the king of Babylon a few days ago. Many of them. I don't know, it might have been 10 or 12 of them. And they sat in the White House. They sat in that meeting room before the king of Babylon. Ministers of the church, men who proclaim to you and I that they are men of God, that they have been called by the Most High, that they have been anointed to speak the word of God, that they have been chosen to tell the word of God. And they sat before the king of Babylon. Topic was supposed to be prison reform. And this is how you know they weren't sent by Yah. If you go to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, and start reading at verse 21. It says, Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this people is robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. And they are hid where? In prison houses. For they are for prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear? For the time to come. You see this? These so-called men of God go and say restore? Did they speak up for their people that are snared in the prison house? Instead, these ministers went there and they lauded and they applauded and they honored and they gave flatteries to the king of Babylon. They said that Donald Trump is the most pro-black president of our time. They didn't do even what one of the children of Japheth did. You had a woman, a European lady, Kim Kardashian. She went to the king of Babylon and pleaded for a black lady to be freed from prison. And she was. But you see, Yahweh called these so-called ministers dumb dogs, because they weren't doing nothing except serving themselves. And Yahweh said back in Jeremiah 30, verse 13, there is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. These ministers could have went there and they could have told it straight. They could have told the truth, but they didn't. Because Yahweh said it's not that time. Your 400 years are not over. And these are not my servants. Verse 14 said, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why cry for thine affliction? Again, Yah said, thou shalt be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them and what? Afflict them 400 years. And brothers and sisters, Yahweh is letting us know, why are you crying out for your affliction? Why are you going to your enemy and begging them for some respite? Why are you asking them for mercy? Why are you crying out to the ones that Yahweh has used to afflict you, to force you to serve, to kill you? Why are you crying out? Why are you doing this? Your sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I, Yahweh said, I have done these things unto thee. And Yahweh is going to be the one that's going to have to restore us. Look in the book of Jeremiah. I believe it's the 14th chapter. It's the 16th chapter. Jeremiah 16, And what are we dealing with? We're dealing with the time of Jacob's trouble. We're dealing with how to know Yahweh's word don't come back void. Everything we've discussed is the word of Yah. And it is happening to us today, or has already happened. Yahweh said we'll be in the wilderness for 40 years. And that's exactly what happened. Yahweh said we would be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And that's exactly what happened. And Yahweh said that we will be forced to serve and be afflicted in this strange land for 400 years. And that is exactly what is happening. In Jeremiah 16, verse 12, or verse 11, it says, "Then shall thou say unto them, Behold, your fathers have forsaken me, saith Yah, and have walked after other deities, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law." You want to know why we have this situation? You want to know why we have this evil being done unto us? It is because our fathers haven't kept the law. But Yah says in verse 12, "And you," speaking to us, "have done worse than your fathers. Behold, ye walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not." Did Yahweh not say that we would be strangers in this land? And he said he would cast us out into a land that we know not, neither your fathers. And did Yahweh not say that we would be strangers? Our fathers didn't know about this land. They weren't familiar with this land. They didn't set up shop in this land. "And there shall ye serve other Elohim." Is that not what's going on here? We got to serve our enemies' gods. Our enemies forced us into slavery and forced us to serve their God. "Day and night, where I will not show you favor." Have you been shown favor? Was Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old shot by the police, shown favor? Was Emmett Till, who the lady that lied on him just admitted that she lied on him, was Emmett Till shown favor? Was Trayvon Martin shown favor? Was Mike Brown shown favor? Was Philando Castile shown favor? Sandra Bland? I could go on and on. Rodney King, he wasn't shown favor. We're not shown favor. Our brothers and sisters are in these projects, in these ghettos, in these hoods. We're in these places where the stores serve us rotten food, where the police pull you over just because you're black, where you gotta be 4 months behind on your rent just to get help, and they don't even help you with your whole rent, where you gotta beg and pour and scrip and scrape just so you can have some food on your plate, while your enemy walks around higher and fatter than you can ever be. You're not shown any favor because you're a stranger and you've been forced to serve, and this is the furnace of affliction. Therefore, verse 14, Yah says, "The days come, saith Yah, that it shall no more be said, Yahweh liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Yahweh liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Didn't Yahweh say that to his friend Abraham, that he would bring us into this land after 400 years, after he judges this nation, after we have served and been afflicted 400 years, then will we return? Coming from the land of the north. And where are we today? In North America. Which brings me to some more proof. Wouldn't it have happened that in January of the heathen calendar, 2018, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, signed a law. I think it was Bill 1282, am I right? Look that up for me, make sure I'm right about the number because it's significant. And this law declared that the children of Israel, and it's in its words, it said that the African Americans or the black men and women in America are coming upon their 400 years. And be it the case, from July 2019 until July 2020 will be a commemoration of 400 years of blacks or African Americans or Negroes in America. What other nation is doing such a thing? Why would Yahweh do this? I'll show you. Why did Yahweh have Pharaoh thrust the children of Israel out? Why did Yahweh have Cyrus send the children of Israel out of Babylon? And why did Yahweh allow a man who all, as far as I can tell, African Americans today can't stand Donald Trump? Every black radio I turn on, they got a problem with Donald Trump. If you even mention Donald Trump, most black people I've seen get all fussy and upset. They can't stand this man. And the law is House Bill 1242. The reason that's significant is it's because that 1242 is in the order of three. Yahweh had Donald Trump sign this bill into law, was it on the third day of the week? January the 8th. That's the third day of the week, right? I believe it was the third day of the week. But it was the 10th month of Yah's calendar when it happened. January the 8th, 10th month of Yah's calendar. And 10 is the order of three. 1242 is the order of three. Donald Trump is the 45th president, and that's the order of three. And Donald Trump was born in the third month of Yah's calendar, which is the order of three. And the bill was signed on the second day, which is in the order of two, which represents Yah's name, and the order of three represents Yah's servant. And why would Yahweh do such a thing? You'll find the answer in the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter. And what did we read in the beginning of this lesson? In Hosea, the sixth chapter, the second verse, where it said, after 2 days, he will revive us And in the third day, he will raise us up. Another order of three, because this is for Yah's servant. And in Daniel, the fourth chapter, look at verse 17. It says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Yahweh rules in the kingdom of men. Yahweh stirred up Pharaoh. Yahweh stirred up Cyrus. And Yahweh is stirring up Donald Trump. And this is the only nation that has even acknowledged our 400 years. And why would that even be an important thing? Because Yahweh said, will be here for 400 years to serve and to be afflicted. 400 years. Yah's word is this. Go to the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 8, states, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever. Hallelujah. There is an end to Jacob's trouble. There is a determination, and there is a hope. And when did this decree go forth that we ought to have a commemorative year of our 400 years? It is to start in 2019, which would be 400 years from 1619. And what is the recorded day that the children of Israel came into this land? August the 20th, 1619. And that day was the third day of the week. And if you look on your calendars, August the 20th, 2019, I'm going to ask my brother Lemuel, tell me what August the 20th, 2019 is. Tell them on the mic so they don't think I'm lying. You look at it right here. I got it right here for you. Tell them on the mic so they don't think I'm lying. August the 20th, 2019. Pick up the microphone here. Tell them on the mic. August the 20th, 2019.
What day is it? 2019. What day is it?
Third day of the week.
The third day of the week. Brothers and sisters, there's a hope to our end. And you have to know Yah's time to know when he will deliver us. Because Jacob's trouble is coming. This furnace, it's turning up. And the only way we to be hid is to seek Yahweh, is to seek righteousness, is to seek meekness, so that we may be hid in the day of Yah's wrath. Hallelujah. Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we. And shalom, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
can be confirmed. To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.